Joy, open your Bibles to the book of Revelation, and we'll just ask you to open them and leave them there a moment. We're going to kind of catch up, review a little bit before we jump in. I hardly ever on Sunday morning start something I don't pretty much finish, but I didn't really get through this morning, so I'm going to pick up a little bit more on it tonight. Somebody says, you're not taking this coronavirus seriously. Well, I am. It's dangerous. It's true in history that along came a virus at the right time, sometime like with the fall of Rome, to help in the fall of Rome. Now, excuse this cough. I don't think it's a virus. If it is, I've had it about 70 years. Anyway, so just I always apologize for it one time and then just keep coughing at you. But I summarize just a little bit. There's a lot of foolishness going on with this thing. The cartoonist in the Ledger, I believe yesterday, had it more accurate than the headlines. He had the liberals laughing about the fact it was destroying the economy. He was right. They would destroy America to destroy Trump. So they were rejoicing that his strong suit, the economy, was being torn apart. Now, there's something bad wrong with that, folks. Really, really, really is to have joy and hate to the degree joy over breaking the economy and hating him bad enough to make that a good thing instead of bad. That's amazing. I do believe you ought to take some precautions. I mean, common sense. I'm for you washing your hands, even taking a bath every week if you need it. I'm for doing a few things for cleanliness' sake. Amen. You ought to watch out. I think about the preacher whose car broke down and he was walking a dusty road in the country trying to get back. And he was really getting thirsty. It was summertime and he came by a farmhouse. And there was a older grandma sitting on the front porch and deep country. And he wanted to ask her for a drink of water. He knew where he was. He knew back there in the country. And I can relate to this. I remember when there was a dipper in the bucket and everybody used the same dipper. How many of you know what a dipper is? Okay. Teach you science tonight. Anyway, as he asked for the water, he saw a little chocolate stuff running out of the corner of her mouth. He knew it was snuff or chewy tobacco or whatever it was. And he thought, I'm fixing to drink out of the same dipper that she drinks out of. But he was very thirsty. So he got to thinking. He said, well, when she drinks out of it, right-handed, she drank this way. So when he took the dipper, he took it in his left hand to drink out of the other side of it. She smiled at him, said, "Huh, you're left-handed just like me." That's an old Mickey joke. Truth of the matter is, take all the precautions you can, but don't be foolish about it. Don't go crazy about it. That's what it amounts to. Church closings today, that's a joke. I talked to a preacher friend in North Carolina. He said the governor come out and said we could not have over 100 in church today. Can you imagine a preacher standing at the door and say, oh, that's it, 101, you got to leave. What a joke. In California, they're closing churches. Our brother Jack Treber out there, he's a ministry probably even a little larger than ours here, and they were limiting them and shutting them down, so they had to go put 100 in this building, 100 in that building, separate everything off. Now, folks, the anti-God crowd will use anything against us. You do know that, don't you? And that's a whole lot of what is definitely behind it today. All the setting in the current news and all that business, I tell you what it shows us. It shows us the helplessness of men and of governments when things do mess up. Luke 21, I won't ask you to go there, but it talks about a time that the nations will be perplexed. Perplexed. They won't know what to do. That's what the word means. Don't know which way to go. I think we're arriving there. I really do. In Matthew 24, you'll read over there where one of the signs of the Lord's coming is pestilence. Now, you got the word pestilence. You look it up in your Bible. It's hundreds of times the word is used in your King James Bible. And pestilence means more than just a locust plague. It means viruses. If you read about the story in David over there in 2 Samuel, I believe it's about 13, over there you'll read where he numbered the people and got in trouble with God. You remember that? And God came to him and said, I'm going to give you three choices. You run before your enemy. And you know what David said? He said, I'll take, or pestilence. And he said, I'll take it from God. And the pestilence from God. And a lot of people died. Thousands of people died before God lifted the plague. So yes, God can use pestilence. He can do that. Now Luke 21 tells us that men's hearts are going to start failing them for the things that they look upon coming upon the earth. What they begin to see. I said that to you this morning. So tonight I want to move a little bit further into that. I mentioned to you this morning to properly and rightly divide the book of Revelation helps you to understand. Let me go to it before I actually read a text tonight. If you go to the book of Revelation, you find in chapters 2 and 3, in chapter 1 he has the vision. Chapter 2 and 3 is the letters to the seven churches. In chapter 4, verse 1, we believe the rapture takes place. In chapter 5, John is caught up. He's a type of the church, and he's caught up to heaven in Revelation chapter 5, and he comes before the throne of God, and he is given, remember, a seven-sealed book. Remember that? The Lord Jesus Christ prevails as the Lion of the tribe of Judah by his shed blood, and he's given the seven-sealed book, and he begins to break the seals. So in chapter 6, you have the four seals, finally the fifth seal broken, and you begin to move through the book of Revelation. Now, you and I, if you've been coming to a fundamental independent Baptist church, you have probably got it nailed down that we believe in the rapture will take place next. We believe in the tribulation period will come following that. We believe at the end of that will be the 1,000-year millennial reign of Christ, right? So you've got that big outline in your mind. Now, with that thought in mind, think about it. Somewhere in that seven-year tribulation period, probably about midway, the Antichrist is going to finally be revealed. We may know who, I might think we know now, but we might know who he is before that, but he's finally going to be revealed and discovered by Israel. He's going to turn on them with a peace covenant. You know the story. And things are going to start happening for the bad. But the good part is, if we're right on the pre-trib rapture, and I believe we are, we'll be out of here. Before the wicked one, the man of sin, actually takes over and control. Now, we are going to have some coming events after that. And that's where I want you to go in the book of Revelation into chapter 8. And I'm shortcutting a bunch of stuff tonight and hope that I'll not leave you mixed up too bad. I want to talk to you about the coming event as we go to Revelation chapter 8. Now, I believe this will be taking place in the latter part of the seven-year tribulation period. That period is spoken of in the Bible. That last part is 3.5 years or 1,260 days, equals the same thing in the book of Revelation. Now, it's an event that's coming that's been known, but not spoken of in the news because they have this thing about not scaring the public. You know, if you watch much on TV, you see all the alien stuff on TV. There's a lot of theorists that believe the government knows about the aliens, but they don't want to scare the public with it. There's a lot of things they do hide from the public. There is a credibility gap between our government and what they actually release to the public. There's no doubt about that. That's probably true. A lot of folks have been in the military. They know something about that. But this event that I'm talking to you about in the Bible tonight that we'll read about in a moment is when the seventh seal is opened, when the angels begin to reveal these things, and this is an event that's been watched by the powers that be now for a good while, and they know this is coming. They're hoping they're going to divert it, but if not, they know it's coming. I guess close to 40 years ago I preached on this, and other preachers did it also. Now there's a little more information, a little more technology, a little bit more that is leaking out about it. It is something in the distance, but it is getting closer. Let's begin reading in Revelation chapter 8, verse 7. And the first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth. And the third part of trees was burnt up, and all green grass was burnt up. And the second angel sounded, and as it were a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea. And the third part of the sea became blood. And the third part of the creatures that were in the sea and had life died, and the third part of the ships were destroyed. And the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp. And it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the mountain fountains of waters. And the name of the star is called Wormwood. And the third part of the waters became wormwood, that is bitter. And many men died of the waters because they were made bitter. And the fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten, and the third part of the moon, and the third part of the stars, so that the third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. Now I'm going to stop there. I'm going to stop there for this little bit, and we're going to go back and say a few things about what we just read. We're talking about a time that something is coming out of the heavens, coming out of space, coming through the universe, and hitting planet Earth. Now, you're hearing a lot. You see some things on TV about asteroids coming. Is this one? I don't know exactly what it'll be named. I suspect that's what they call it. If you look at the moon, you see the craters in the moon, don't you? You know that is that it's been bombarded by the asteroids, by the heavenly rocks that come down out of space. And we have places, big places in America, canyons and holes in the planet and all that. And a lot of folks don't know it, but every day asteroids hit the Earth. They're smaller. One morning I was driving back from a meeting. I was by myself in the car. It was just about daylight. Sun had just gotten up. I was somewhat on an isolated road. There was no more traffic around. And all of a sudden, looked like maybe 20 or 30 feet in front of my car, something came out of the sky, hit the pavement, fire flashed, it knocked a hole in the pavement. It was too big to be a bullet. It was a small rock. From where? From outer space. And I want to tell you that is happening. But you imagine what that rock would have done to my car or me had it hit me. And the force is tremendous. All over the Earth, we got scars and marks where that sort of thing has hit planet Earth. Now, for a long time, and like I say, I probably preached the first time somewhere 35, 40 years ago, that somewhere way out in space, the big cameras had picked up something coming. They didn't know what it was. They talked about it. And if you could go back in some of the old messages you'd hear when I was talking about something current, but hey, we've moved about 40 years since then, 35, 40 years since then. Now, is it the same thing they're talking about today, now gotten very close? Could be. Could be. They have been observing it for a long time. But it is still coming. And what are they trusting to stop it? Now, NASA over here, we're in Florida, so we know a little bit about the space place over here. They are saying that they are seeing this thing come, and their first worry was that it was going to come close enough to planet Earth. It was going to miss us, but it might knock our satellites out of the sky. That'd be pretty close, wouldn't it? That'd be very close. Now, we've had some near misses before, but nothing they've ever worried about as much as they are this one now that is on the way. Now, is it what I just read about in the book of Revelation? There's a good chance that it is. Good chance that it is. Now, you say, well, what are they going to do about it? Well, government can fix anything, right? That's what everybody thinks. And did you notice in the news here not long ago that the President Trump said we're going to start a new military branch called the Space Force? Did you notice that the Democrats that hate him so bad also voted for it? It passed bipartisan, as they say, and it passed quick. I won't tell you why it did. There's some folks that know we got to stop this thing. It's coming. Got quiet, didn't it? It's on its way. So the Space Force has a plan. They plan to shoot some rockets and move it just a little bit while it's way off. If they can just move it a few degrees, then by the time it gets to Earth, it'll miss us by quite a bit. That's the hope. That's what they're hoping. but they're not sure that they can hit it. They're not sure that it will move, but they're making those kind of plans because it is on the way. Now, again, you're not reading that in your headlines in your newspaper. You're not hearing it on the 6:30 news. But there's a lot of folks that know something about what I'm talking to you about tonight. Now, here's the thing, folks. What are they trusting to stop it? I don't know. But notice what it says is going to be happening here. They're saying that on the earth, this portion I read, you're going to have hail and fire. You have the grass burn up. You have the trees killed. You have the life in the ocean killed. Now, I want you to understand, if you read this carefully, we think like this. We think wrong. We think something's coming. It'll happen in a flash. It'll be here quick. No, this thing's going to be watched as it gets closer and closer and closer. They've been watching it for over 30 years that I know of, if not more than that, since I first mentioned it many years ago. They knew something was coming. I preach like this. I said, something's coming. They don't know what it is, but they're afraid of it. Now they know a lot more about it. Getting quiet again, but it's on the way. We're talking this morning about panic. People panicking over an invisible germ they can't see. What are they going to do when they see something big coming? What are they going to do when it gets close enough the home telescopes can see it? That's not a baby. It's a church member I made mad. I'm joking around now. What about when the home telescope says, I see that thing? What about when the naked eye sees it? Now, you go out tonight. We've been having a full moon here in the last few days. You can see the moon. Sometimes the moon looks smaller. Sometimes it looks bigger. But we see it, don't we? And then we have a moon eclipse or a sun eclipse or something, and it's the big news, and it's reported. As the reports get on this thing getting closer, and finally when the naked eye sees it, do you understand what Jesus was saying? Men's heart failing them for the things they are looking at coming upon the earth. Yeah, there'll be some panic time, real panic time. Now, can they stop it? I doubt it. Now, here's what you got to understand before it ever gets here. These results hit the earth first. Hail and fire. Well, that spinning ball is shooting it off. It's hitting the earth before the actual asteroid ever gets here. It's sending that ahead of it. Burns the grass, burns the trees. Can you imagine how hot it would be as it got closer and closer before it ever hit? I'm just saying, you understand what I said. I'd tell you there's some things that people ought to panic about. Much more than what's going on today. And the big panic ought to be if they're going to be here during that time. You and I that know Jesus are not going to be here then. We may get to see it from heaven. It'll be in the tribulation period. I believe the rapture will already be taking place. But God is now showing himself and his judgment falling on the earth. And men's hearts are going to fail them because of what is coming on the earth. Now, how about the reports every night? How much closer is it? How much closer is it? Another picture. Now it's as big as the moon, and it's getting closer, and it's getting closer. Do you understand what I'm telling you? The results are falling. It's coming, and they're seeing it. Now, the questions we could ask about this is, of course, when? Well, we believe that the rapture could take place tonight, any moment. The tribulation period could break loose. It'll be toward the end of the tribulation period, and I'm going to get a little more specific in just a minute. So the panic will grow. It'll grow as it nears. Remember the scare over Y2K? Well, we were so glad that was all false. I never did put much stock in. I know some churches that got into it too deep and actually got hurt by it. I didn't. This, though, is not going to be something man-made. This is going to be something God made, something that the Lord is doing. Be on TV, updated every night. Efforts to divert it, not working. Getting close enough the human eye can see it. And shooting rockets at it and atomic weapons at it to nudge it, but it don't nudge. Now, if you read the text I just read to you close, it almost looks like it splits. It starts out as a mountain of fire. But by the time it gets to earth, They call it a great star. So it almost looked like two objects. Are they successful enough to put a nuclear weapon on it and split a piece of it off? Possible. I don't know. There's a lot of room in that text right there for a lot of things to take place. And the waters become bitter. We was over in Russia. Some of us preachers were getting some Bibles over into Russia, and it was right after the Chernobyl nuclear plant had melted down. And we were over in Romania, right across the border from Russia, and it was snow and ice everywhere. Of course, we Florida boys, we were kind of thrilled by seeing the snow everywhere. It was a pretty bright morning. And we went out of the church building, walked out there to see where they were trying to build a new building. And there was a shed right there. And the roof of it was covered in pretty white snow. And like a Florida boy, I reached up and got me a handful of snow, started to taste of it. And when I did, the preachers just went frantic. No, the Romanian preachers. Don't do that. And I said, why? I mean, I thought it was clean, you know, up there on the roof where the cats wasn't walking on it. They said, Chernobyl, Chernobyl. And then they pointed way across the border, across the snowy fields. The nuclear plant was not that far away. And when it melted down, all the pollution, radiation, whatever you want to call it, came out when it snowed and rained. And they were saying, leave it alone. I followed up on that later many times and read where kids and others were deformed and everything else following that tragedy over there with the nuclear plant. Now, I notice here the waters get bitter. They're undrinkable. They're poison. Is it the nuclear effort we made to divert the asteroid, if that's what we'd call it, that also made it poisonous by the time it hit Earth and the waters become poisonous? Wormwood. Wormwood is actually the word they used in Russia concerning the fallout from the nuclear plant when it imploded, when it melted down, and they used the word wormwood. Wormwood means bitter. It means a little more than that. It means poison. It means something very bad, very, very negative. And so that's the very Bible word. I thought how interesting it was when they used that word in Russian over there concerning the nuclear plant. I knew it was in the Bible. And I'm wondering if some man-made stuff don't also get involved right here. Panic. It'll grow. It'll grow as this thing gets closer. And they try to stop it and can't. Now, NASA over here fears, don't want the public to become afraid. And finally, they're coming out a little more because you see some of those employees are saved. Some of them believe the Bible. I got on the airplane in Orlando with a high executive from NASA. He sat in the seat side of me. I told him who I was. He rejoiced because he was born again. He was saved. And we went all the way to Dallas, Texas, talking not only about the salvation we had in Christ, but the predictions of the Word of God, prophecy. And I never forget, I was thrilled my soul, man. I mean, to sit down there and find a guy in a high place like that. He was on his way home. Home was California. They flew him back and forth every week. That's how important he was from job from California back to the Cape over here. And we had some good fellowship till I had to get off the plane in Dallas. But I found out this, and he told me this. There's a lot of us over there that are saved. A lot of us know something about the Bible. So I'm sure they were sworn to secrecy about a lot of this stuff. Don't alarm the public. Don't alarm the public. But wait a minute. Some of it's leaked out. And some that are Christians are saying something about what I'm preaching to you about tonight. A coming event predicted by the Word of God over 2,000 years ago when John was isolated on the Isle of Patmos and got the book of Revelation directly from God. And here it is. You see, things aren't always going to go on like we're used to. Things do change. 2 or 3 weeks ago, we were not in this mess about a virus, were we? Came pretty quick, didn't it? Things can change very quick, turn around very quick. And so this thing has begun to leak out. Now, I'm only hitting some high places tonight, but I'm telling you that they do track things in space from a long way off, and as fast as they're moving, it's still, because they're so far off, takes a long time for them to arrive. For instance, do any of you remember when the asteroid was heading for the large planet Jupiter? That's been a few years back. Do you remember that? I preached some about it. You get a report on it every now and then in the news. It's coming, it's going to hit Jupiter. They knew the exact date it was going to hit Jupiter. They knew the exact time it was going to hit. They could run the calculations ahead, and they knew. And they talked about it on the news. What was more interesting about that time was some fellows began to do some research on the Bible codes. Here this asteroid is heading toward Jupiter, and the Bible codes came up and told about it and picked the exact same date that NASA picked for it to hit Jupiter. And it hit on exactly that date. And the explosion was tremendous. But Jupiter's bigger than planet Earth. And that happened. Now, I have not heard, and maybe this is something some of you ought to meet, get a child, some of the folks that do Bible codes, and there's some hanky-panky with them, there's some stuff there, you got to be careful, but those that know what they're doing, I'd like to know what they're saying about this, what the Bible codes. See, the Bible codes predicted a lot of things. They predicted the assassination of the Jewish leader, exact time. They predicted the bombing of the federal building out in Oklahoma, exact time. And you just keep on going. The stuff that the Bible code said would happen did happen exactly that way. Now, again, that's rightly interpreting, rightly knowing what you're doing. So I'd like for somebody to check it out. But however, according to the gossip coming from the employees at NASA, they have picked a date for this thing to arrive. I said I'd tell you some reason to panic. If you're going to be here, you ought to panic. I'm not, because I'm not planning on being here. I'm planning on meeting the Lord Jesus in the air. Amen. I'm not going to plan on this. But if you're planning on it, mark this date. Write it down now in your Bible. I'm going to be right on the month and the year, and it's been so long since I've read about it till I'm not 100% sure on the date. It was either the 19th. Or the 29th. But if I miss it by 10 days, you excuse me. But they believe that it will arrive on planet Earth unless it is diverted, unless God intervenes, that it will arrive on planet Earth in October 29, 9 years from now. I told you I'd do something to make you think about tonight. So you're setting a date. I sure am. Setting the same one NASA's setting for this thing to arrive. So you might not have had NASA in your prayers, but you might ought to put them in there. You might ought to pray for their rockets. You might ought to pray for the plan they've got to divert it. I don't know. I'm certainly not into that sort of stuff. But I am saying to you that if they're right, it's going to coincide with what the Bible has said for over 2,000 years. Only the Bible named the thing. Amen. Wormwood. And told it a devastation on the earth. As it gets closer, it'll rain hell and fire. As it gets closer, the grass will burn. The trees will burn. And finally, when a part of it goes into the ocean, the creatures in the ocean will die. You say, well, that'd be out in California. Well, I'm not going to talk about whether they deserve it or not. I'm just going to say, the truth of the matter is, the whole earth will be affected big time. Now, if you read the scripture on further, it'll cause the darkness. That's what it does. Blank out, a third of the sun will be blocked. The moon, a third of planet Earth. Folks, you say, you're trying to scare us? No, I'm just telling you what's coming. It's what's coming. Now, the best thing I can tell you is Jesus is coming too. And he's coming soon. Amen. I want to tell you what you and I as Christians ought to be doing. We ought to be using this stuff to win souls. We ought to be using this stuff to witness to family and friends. I want to tell you something. Just this little bit I've said to you tonight will cause some folks to ask you questions. They want to know what the rapture's about. They want to know how to be in that and miss this. Amen. Listen, they show some scary stuff on TV. All that. But we're talking about out of God's word. We're not talking about theory. We're talking about what God said about it. And he said it's coming. There's a lot of stuff coming in that tribulation period. And one of them is going to be this thing called wormwood. This mountain burning with fire that's going to hit planet Earth. And all the devastation and all the death that it's going to cause. It's on the calendar. Is NASA right on the date? They're pretty well right. To shoot a satellite up, they got to be precision. That man that I was talking about flying with on the airplane out to Texas with, I talked to him about that. He said the reason we can put satellites in the sky and not have them bump into other things up there and get in the right orbit, he said all of that is because God set laws that do not change, and we go by them. He said if God had not set the laws, we could not shoot the rockets up. We could not put a satellite in the sky. And God gets all the credit for the precision. I've told you before, the Elgin Watch Company used to say we set our time by the stars. The precision of God's universe that he made. And the truth of the matter is, this will happen. Is that the right date? NASA thinks it is, according to the employees that work there have talked about it. So if you want to know why the Liberal Party and could get together and even back the president on starting a space branch of the military, there's a purpose that space is working hard right now to protect planet Earth. You and I know some protection greater than that. We know the Lord Jesus Christ that loved us and died for us. And I want to say to you tonight, he's our hope. Our hope's not in shooting a rocket against something coming against the earth. No doubt about it. We're not panicking because we know the Lord. I probably did seem a little flippant this morning about the virus. I don't want it. I don't want you to get it. I don't want your loved ones to get it. But I'll tell you one thing. I'm going to trust God ahead of the physicians. I'm going to trust God ahead of the TV and the news and the politicians for sure. And I'm going to keep on doing what God wants us to do till he says it's enough. Amen. That's the thing. Father, we ask your blessing. We haven't preached the gospel per se tonight. But Lord, if there's one here unsaved, how this ought to be a warning that they can't keep fooling around. The trumpet could sound tonight. They don't have to wait for a big rock to hit the earth. The door of the gospel to those that have heard it and rejected it could be closed tonight if the Lord came back for those that are his. I pray, Father, even as we give an invitation tonight, it might ought to be this way. Lord, stir us up. Let us get that fire burning again in our soul to tell others about the Lord Jesus. And I pray, Father, that whatever the bad stuff is coming, be it this virus or something else, that we could use it for your glory. Demonstrate our faith to those that are scared and tell them the way to have peace is to know the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask it in his name. Amen. Let's stand. We have a verse of invitation. Whatever God's asked you to do, you do it as we sing.
All to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him in his presence daily. I surrender all. my blessed Savior, I surrender all.
You don't have to be an Einstein to do a little arithmetic. If NASA's right on that date, 9 years from now, and we're right on the tribulation period, being Daniel's 70th week, 7 years long. You take 7 from 9, you got 2 years left. 2 years for what? The Lord Jesus don't have to wait 2 years to come. He can come any moment. But if it's a pre-trib rapture, and the trib is 7 years long, somewhere in the next 2 years, the rapture is going to take place. Now, I know that just disturbs some of you young people. You want to get married. You want to do this. You want to do that. God could save you from all that. Now, I'm playing with you some. We don't know. And we don't know but what God might divert this thing. But I want to tell you something. When it's written in the Word, it's going to come around just like God says it is. Never been wrong. But you know, if you're saved, Jesus coming is not something to fear. Amen. It's called the blessed hope. Amen. The blessed hope. That's my blessed hope. Somebody says, what do you need to me tonight? I said, I need more energy. I'm getting old. Run out of fuel. But I'm not whining about it. I'll go the last mile he wants me to go. But it'd be okay when he says it's enough. Amen. Amen. He's my blessed hope. So as I see all this bad stuff, including the fear that's running through people now over a virus, that just tells me Jesus is coming. Men's hearts failing them for fear, looking at the things that are coming on the earth. That's what Jesus said. Amen. All right. Somebody left my church one time. They said, I come to leave feeling good, and he didn't make me feel good. Preacher's got a double job. He's got a double-edged sword that he has to use. You know that? He's supposed to comfort the feeble and discomfort the others. I'm better at the discomfort side probably than I am on that side. But the truth of the matter is, if you got peace in your heart, you can poke some fun at the stuff the world fears. You know that? Sure. Doesn't the Bible tell us the world's going to pass away and the lust thereof? He that doeth the will of the Father abideth forever. We're right in that verse. We're right in there. Right in there. Amen. All right. Thank you for coming tonight. Some of you broke the law. You shook hands with me, but that's okay. God bless you. Turn around and shake hands with somebody else. You didn't.